Okay, ladies, why is skincare so confusing? I feel like I've used a hodgepodge of whatever the so-called latest and greatest products are, or just whatever my friends were loving at the time. Until I discovered Barefaced. I first started following Barefaced on Instagram, and I've learned so much. The company was founded by a nurse practitioner who is passionate about providing simple, science-backed education, but she also shares valuable insight on both life and business and is a mama of four, and you know we love that. What's really unique and helpful is their team of skincare specialists that you can text for complimentary consults and to answer any skin questions. It's like getting a professional recommendation from the comfort of your couch. This is how I know exactly what to use for my skin type. You can text them too. Their number is on their Barefaced Instagram, and I'll put the number in the show notes as well. The most important thing is to understand your unique skin type, and the Barefaced Skin Quiz makes it easy to figure out in just 5 minutes. Head over to their Instagram at Barefaced to take the skin quiz and to find a wealth of information on all things skincare. Hey, here's the best part. Got It From My Mama podcast listeners can get 15% off their first purchase by using code MAMA15. Mitchell Tenpenny's music has more than 1 billion streams. He's had success at the top of the charts and multiple award nominations. But what you may not know is that he grew up with the matriarchs of the family being key players in Nashville's music scene. His grandmother, Donna Hilly, ran Sony Music Publishing for 31 years, and his mom, Debbie, still works at Sony today. Debbie underwent cancer treatments this year, less than 10 years after Mitchell lost his dad to the same disease. I loved meeting Debbie and learning more about Mitchell and this talented family. Well, thank you so much for saying yes and being here. I've been trying to schedule it for a while, but you've kind of been busy. You have been a little bit under the weather.
Yes.
But you're looking good, feeling good.
Yes.
Yeah. Slowly but surely, right?
Slowly but surely.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me about your experience of growing up in the music business. I think there's a lot of people who might just be fans of Mitchell and his music and not know this incredibly rich history that your family comes from. I mean, you literally grew up in the middle of it all, didn't you?
Yes. A lot of things. I remember my sister and I, we would, you know, traveling to Alabama. That's where my family was from. And, all you ever heard was country music. So we were like, you know, we didn't want to be around it, but that was all we ever heard.
What did you love growing up?
Like 70s type normal.
More what would have been considered pop music, like what was popular at the time.
Yes.
What we might call yacht rock now, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. And, but mom and dad loved it. My dad worked at IBM, but he would get the charts every week. They'd come out in Billboard and he'd mark all the Sony things for her. And so we
And this
was
is
just
before your mom was
around.
Working in the business. Your dad
no, she was in the business.
Oh, she was at the time.
Yeah, this
okay.
is when she was, running Sony and he would mark the charts up for her and do all that. And so I would just watch their love of that.
Uh huh.
And, wanted to be there.
So. When you were a young girl, it wasn't something you really saw yourself doing, though,
never,
right?
Never.
Yes.
I always thought I'd be a singer, and I am the worst singer in my entire family. Everybody can sing except for me, and they'll tell you that.
So Mitchell did not get that from his mama.
He got it from his daddy.
Okay, so could he sing?
Oh, yeah.
Was he musically talented?
Yes. He was, but he just didn't ever. He worked for AT&T and Bell South, and that was – he was – that was what he did.
Yeah, had a more normal pace for a job. Yeah, yeah. Share with us some of, and we're going to brag on your mom for just a little bit,
because
she was so impactful in the music business. And 31 years with Sony ATV, right?
Yes.
What did she do there?
She started as a secretary for Jack Stapp and Buddy Killen.
Oh, wow.
And she loved it, because she came from being at a radio station, and working for Bill Hudson and Associates, and Joyce Bush was a good friend of hers who worked for Sony, which, I'm sorry, was Tree at that point.
Okay, yeah.
And Joyce, she was a good friend of Mama's, and she got cancer and was not going to make it. And so she told Jack, she said, the only way I can leave and leave happy is if you hire Donna Hilly. So he did.
That's how
and
it happened.
And that's how it all started.
So, but she started as a secretary.
Yes.
And before too long, she was running the show over there, right?
Yeah, it took a while. I mean, of course, Buddy was there too. But when that, after Jack died, and I remember being at my grandmother's in Alabama when that happened, and Mama was just devastated. We had to leave immediately because she was so close to him and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, and then after that, she just started kind of climbing climbing the ladder, doing different things.
What are some of your memories when you look back on of things that you were exposed to as a young girl or a teenager because of your mom's situation of maybe meeting people that you didn't even realize were a big deal at the time? Or what are some of those stories?
Well, I enjoyed going to the CMA Awards. Mm. I think everybody should do that once anyway. Yeah. And I remember Marie Osmond, because, of course, that was who I grew up with, was there, and we were, you know, at the little party afterwards, and I went over to meet her, and my husband was like, Debbie, you are gawking at her. I was like, I ain't ever, this is celebrity, her and Donnie and all that. So just meeting people like that and realizing they're normal people.
Yeah.
Where I had them up on this big high pedestal and all that kind of stuff.
Right. And you said you were married then, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But you were really around the business when you were young too, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I was a buyer for a chain of department stores forever. And then I had Mitchell and I didn't want to go back to work. I mean, I got married, had Mitchell, didn't mm-hmm. want to go back to work and stayed out for like a year.
Yeah.
And then I remember my mom calling saying, we have an opening in Tree Productions. If you want to ever work, let's do it now. Because I stayed out a year.
Yeah.
And I said, I'll come and try it. So I did. And Pat McMakin was my boss. And he ran the studio. And Tree Productions, which is where we brought like Kix Brooks and Ronnie were through Tree Productions. There were several people through. Liam Womack.
They actually recorded there?
Yes.
Okay.
And so we brought them through there. So anyway, the first day I'm there with Pat, he said, well, come on, I'm going to teach you what a tracking session is. Because he had said, we're going to track at 10, overdubs at 2. And I'm like, I don't know what a track is.
You didn't
is.
Even know that
no,
lingo. Yeah.
Not at all. And so anyway, that's where they lay down all the music.
Mm-hmm.
10 o'clock, all the musicians are in. And so I worked there about 8 months. And then Pat came in and said, I have a full-time position now if you want it. And I said, I do. And
okay. So, did you kind of get bit by the bug and loved it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I loved the writers.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
Just meeting them. And it, to me, to write a song is incredible.
Oh, it's fascinating to me because I just don't think my brain thinks like that.
Me
so.
Either. I mean, my husband would try too. And he just, you know, he didn't have that bug. You got to have that.
Yeah.
Creativity. So.
Do you have a good ear though? Like, do you know a good song when you hear it from being around publishing? Like, does Mitchell use your ears a little bit for his music?
Yeah, absolutely. He, not as much now because he's so busy, but even last year when I had, when I found out I had cancer, he always rides around to play me his new stuff and see what I like. And I'm like, that's good, but that's...
So y'all hop in the truck or the car?
His
and
truck.
Okay.
Because he's got them all on his phone, you know, and I'm like, pay attention. We're driving around. But so I think I can. I really do.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to tell friends, I can tell you what's going to be a number one and what's not because I'm your average listener.
Yeah.
I don't know how to write. I don't. You know.
Yeah, but you've seen so much of it.
Yes.
You've seen what goes up the charts and what doesn't.
And
so.
Even they can the song can be incredible and the artist can be incredible, but if the label don't get behind you, it's not going anywhere.
And you know, I think it's interesting that really hasn't changed over the years. Even in the days of streaming and the way we consume music, it's still all about the label getting behind you and what's being played on the radio.
That's true.
It's so interesting to me.
There are so many talented people in Nashville that never make it, that are just incredible.
Yeah. I think that's one of the saddest parts about the business and seeing there are people that you just thought for sure they'd be the next thing. And then, you know, for whatever reason, it doesn't happen.
And Mitchell did not want to do TikTok stuff, but the label said he had to. So
how'd that go for him?
Well, I think it's okay. He's not doing it like everybody else, but he does do it because that's what he needs to do.
Yeah, it was the same for Connor. Just so reluctant because that just didn't feel very natural to him to want to do that. But again, that's another example of something that now plays a huge role that didn't back in the days when your mama was publishing music.
And they're not making money on it. So they're going to have to figure out a way that they can do that.
Yep.
And then I'm scared of this IA stuff that's AI. Artificial, whatever. And because they don't even know it's not them. That's what's scary.
Yeah, that is very concerning about in a lot of areas, not
and
just
then,
music,
yeah.
but yeah, certainly a lot of areas. So you had Mitchell, he's your first son.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of personality did he have as a child? What were some of those traits that kind of play into who you see now as a performer?
He always like performed for everybody. I mean, we watched, I called them the babysitters, but like Jungle Book and different things like that. If I needed to vacuum, I would put those on, and I would be vacuuming, and he'd be in there marching around singing to them, and all the time, to everything. They laugh, we laugh at what he did, and it was Jack be Dimble. Jack, it was a nursery rhyme one. Jack jumped over the candlestick. He would get one of my candles, put it on the ground, and he'd be jumping over it. So he was always putting on a show, and we were always laughing.
Yeah, yeah. So. Is it something, since you had been in the music business, as he starts getting older and, you know, he's obviously got a good ear, he's got a great voice, all of those things, did you kind of hope that maybe he would do something else?
Or? I did hope he would do something else.
You did?
Just because I've seen so many good writers that just don't make it.
Yeah.
And good people, you know, and I would hate to see it. When they would get dropped, I'd be like, oh, I can't stand it.
Yeah.
So I knew what could happen, and I certainly didn't want that for him.
Yeah. What did you think maybe he would want to do as a career?
I don't know, because he says in his mind that was always what he wanted to do. Now, when he played football, he was amazing at it. He was the first ninth grader that got to start on the varsity team.
Oh, wow. And was that at Lipscomb Academy right here in town?
Back then, it was David Lipscomb.
Oh, yeah.
Because I have told him, I'm like, they're having a reunion for all the football players. And he's like, I didn't go to Lipscomb Academy. I went to David Lipscomb.
Different school.
Yeah.
Same building, different school.
That's right.
So he had the opportunity, though, to continue playing in college, too, right?
He did at MTSU.
Uh-huh.
And then he decided I didn't want to go that way. Him and Brad Clawson and Jeff, a couple of guys, and my nephew Jay all got a room together. I mean, a house together. And they ended up liking music and stuff and playing music and getting into that.
So he did a semester or so at MTSU or didn't?
Yeah, he graduated from MTSU.
Oh, he did graduate.
He just didn't want football or anything like that. Anything that was going to take away from him getting to sit down and play all night.
Yeah.
With his friends, he wasn't going to do it.
Yeah, that was a talented household. You had Brad Clawson in there and Mitchell, who both have great songs on charts for them and other people. You start to see him getting more serious about the music while he's in college.
Yes.
And so then were you like, okay, there's no denying it, so here we go.
Yes, because even in high school, he had a little band of his friends, and they even played for the prom one year.
Oh.
And but it was that screaming music and stuff. And all of us parents would go to every time they played somewhere, and we would sit in the back and talk the whole time.
Because you didn't really like the music.
I didn't like the music.
You're just supporting.
And then when I realized that he was getting serious about it, I said, if you really want to make it in Nashville, you can't be doing the screaming. That music's not going to make it here. And I don't have anybody to help you.
Yeah.
And so he kind of changed his tune. And then how he really got started was Jody Williams' son worked with us. And Mitchell had some good songs. I really liked them. And I went in there and played it for him. And he's like, why is he not signed yet? And I said, they don't seem to listen to him here. They don't get it. And he's like, no, he's got it. So I called the Warren Brothers.
Oh.
Because Mama signed them based on Tom Douglas said, they're great. And she was like, I love them. They're funny. I want them.
Wow.
And she signed them. And so anyway, I called him and I said, would you do me a favor? And he said, yeah. And I said, do you mind going over and meeting with Mitchell, let him play you some stuff, and just give me an opinion. Is he ready?
This is who you made this request to, the Warren Brothers?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I'm still best friends with them.
Yeah.
And so they go over. Daddy had let Mitchell build a studio in his house. And down in a garage, and he bought him all the equipment and everything. And so anyway, Brad called me that afternoon, and he's like, oh, my God, Debbie, I'm so excited about music again. And he said, I want to bring him to Sony and do a joint venture with him.
Wow.
And I was like, go for it.
Did that happen?
Yes.
So he was first signed by the Warren Brothers with Sony.
Yes. They took like a percentage.
Yeah. Is he still affiliated with them?
No.
Okay.
But because it was that particular four-year contract.
Yeah. And
but no, he still sees them all the time. They came to his first album release party.
I love those guys. They're so funny.
They are so funny.
Yeah.
And they're both just incredibly good people.
Yeah. And incredibly talented, too. Yes. Boy, they can write, that's for sure. Did you see Mitchell more as a songwriter that would be writing for other people, or did you kind of know the artist thing was in him? I think his voice is so unique.
Yeah, I think I saw him more as a writer.
Okay.
I liked his voice. I love it.
Yeah.
But in my perspective, from where we were in publishing, I thought he can write. I mean, mm-hmm. he's really good at it.
Yeah. And you probably, knowing what you knew, would have been just fine if he was just a songwriter, right?
Yes, yes.
Kind of behind the scenes, didn't deal as much with maybe the what road life brings.
Right.
Yeah. Did I read or hear that he and Ernest had a duo at some point?
Well, the Warren Brothers wanted to do that with both of them.
Oh.
As a duo. And I don't know if it was just, I really don't know why they ended up not doing it, because to us, he's Keith. He went to Lipscomb too, and he's Rafe's age.
Okay, so
he was in Rafe's.
So Ernest is the age of your younger son,
correct?
Rafe. Okay, but when they were in talks with the Warren Brothers, that was a possibility, was putting Ernest and Mitchell together,
yes,
as a duo.
But it's Keith and Mitchell, because again, everybody knows he just recently went to Ernest.
Yeah, y'all still call him Keith. Different.
He's Keith to me. He always will be.
And those two are still good buddies, aren't they?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. Rafe and him, and his wife, and Rafe's girlfriend, they've been together forever.
Oh, wow. So if fans were to take a deep dive, is there somewhere that an Ernest Mitchell duo music exists?
No.
No? They never recorded together?
Mm-mm.
Wow.
They were going to, but I don't know if it was just different styles or whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, they're still best friends.
I bet them. That's fun for you to watch these boys that, you know, you watched go to high school together.
Oh, absolutely. And Keith's, Ernest's mom, I remember when he said he was going to do music, he was a baseball player.
Yep.
And he had a scholarship, I think, at Harding.
Yes, over in West Tennessee.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Friedman Hart, however you say that, yeah.
And she said, you have 2 years to prove you can do the music thing, and then you're going back to college. And he did it.
Yeah, he
so
sure
I'm
did.
I'm so proud of him.
Yeah.
And he's a good guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he used to go see my mom when she was sick in the hospital.
Mm.
He'd just stop by when Mitch was sick, and I'd be at work. He would just stop by and go see Mitch. I mean, he's a good-hearted guy.
What is the impact that you think your mom had on Mitchell and his music and his desire to do music the way he is?
If you love good music and good podcasts, you'll love Roots Music Rambler. I'm Jason Falls. My co-host Francesca Folinazzo and I talk to the singers, songwriters, musicians, and more in Americana, alt-country, bluegrass, folk, blues, and beyond. We share our own takes on the latest news in the space and recommend new music for you to explore every episode. Come get to the roots of the music you love. Find us at RootsMusicRambler.com or go wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to Roots Music Rambler.
I think he just knew how she treated people, and once she got behind him, she was behind him, and her love for it.
Mm.
I mean, she, you know, 24 hours a day, that's all she thought about was that.
Wow.
So and she sang in the choir and did all that.
And she's also, as busy as she was running Music Row, she was also at every baseball game,
yes,
and football game, and just a proud grandmother.
Absolutely.
How old were your boys when they lost their dad?
Well, it was 9 years ago.
Okay.
So Rafe would have been like 21, and that means Mitchell would have been 24.
Okay. So they were young. What was that like for them, and I guess you guys as a family, to walk through?
Yeah, I don't know if, because see, I lost my mother 2 years before that.
So it was just 2 years after when you lost your husband?
Yes.
Oh, my gracious.
And again, how they thought about grandmother was everything.
Yeah.
You know, and I still had my dad,
mm-hmm,
but he was getting older and had some issues and all that kind of stuff. And so I think a lot of why Mitch and I didn't tell them at first, they were in college and Rafe was in high school. And we didn't know a lot about it.
When you say Mitch, you mean
my husband.
Your husband. Yeah.
And so we didn't tell them when it first happened, because we're like, why would we want to tell them that? And then they're thinking about it every day. They can't go to school. They can't do their stuff. Or
that was
anything.
A cancer diagnosis?
Yes.
Okay. How long did y'all go and not tell them?
Probably 2 years.
2 years?
Yeah, because wow, he kept getting good results. And then when they told us, you know, that it had, it was called epithelioid sarcoma. And Mitch never looked it up because he didn't really want to know.
Mm.
That's just who Mitch was, this tough guy, and he just didn't look it up. And it said a life expectancy of 5 years, if you could make it that far. And he almost did.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I was like, we need to sit them down and really talk to him and let him know.
Mm-hmm.
And Mitch didn't want to know that. He never looked it up or anything. And when he had his surgery, I asked the doctor, are you going to tell him this? And he said, only if he asks. Mm-hmm. So after surgery, they came in, and Mitch was feeling good and whatever. And he looked at him and said, anything else? Do you have any more questions for me? And Mitch didn't say anything, and he looked at me, and so I didn't say anything. And so I never told him, because he never asked. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to know. He knew where he was going, and he didn't care.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a song that Mitchell has called Walk Like Him.
Yes.
Yeah. At what point in the journey did you hear that song? I can't only imagine your reaction. It's so beautiful.
It was beautiful. I think it was about 3 or 4 years after Mitch had died.
Okay.
And the boys were renting vans and sleeping on little vans sideways, driving around playing music. And he said all of them, and Mitchell would rent it, so he's going to be driving it. And he said he was just driving around one night and it hit him, you know. And the first time I heard it, still.
Oh, I bet.
We always told him he walks like Mitch because his feet are at 10 and 2.
Yeah, I knew exactly what you meant by 10 and 2, like the way that his feet walk when they're, yeah.
And that's exactly how Mitch walked.
Do you see a lot of mannerisms of him and his dad?
Yes.
And Rafe, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do. They both have it, but they both have that heart. Mm. And Mitch had a great heart.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that walking through that with their dad and losing their dad and then your cancer diagnosis a little over a year ago, right? Mm-hmm. Is my timing mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Does it affect the family different when you've been through what you've been through? Like, were the boys, did they really struggle with that?
I think so. They did a biopsy and all that. So I was waiting on that news before I even told the boys.
Mm-hmm.
And they called me, and I'd just been talking to 2 of my coworkers. We were in there, and I'm like, I can't believe they haven't called me. You know, they know I'm waiting on this. And she's in a co-office with me that's walls in between. But anyway, the other went back to hers. Well, then they called, and Teresa could hear me on the phone. And, of course, I'm crying, and I'm like, okay, where do we go from here? And so anyway, then they both walked in and heard me talking and all that. And so I thought, I'm not going to do what I did with Mitch, because Mitch didn't want to tell him.
Right.
And so anyway, I called Mitch and I said, what are you doing tonight? And he said, I don't know why. And I said, well, I just wanted you to come over. And he said, why? And I said, I just thought you might could get Rafe and come over. Why? And I said, Mitchell, just come over. I just, you know, wanted to see y'all.
Did he even know that you were being tested or that you were? Okay.
No,
nothing.
Nothing. But he sits up and he knew something was wrong because mm-hmm. he said, you never called and said, go pick up your brother and y'all come over.
Yeah.
So they came over and he walks in trying to be all tough, you know, and he's like, what's up?
If you're not using the Core 4 products for long-term skin health, you're likely very underwhelmed by the results of your skincare routine. Think of building your skincare routine like building a house. You need a solid foundation, otherwise your house will collapse. The same thing applies to your skin. If you're not using the Core 4, your skin lacks the resources to be healthy. So what are the Core 4 products? A vitamin C, SPF, an exfoliant, and a retinoid. These 4 products protect, repair, and strengthen the skin, and they are the first 4 products that are really worth investing in because they are the powerhouse of your routine. Barefaced makes it easy to get started with these 4 essentials with their Bare Necessities Bundle. This bundle can be customized to your skin type when you take the 5-minute skin quiz on barefaced.com. They even break down exactly how to use each product and how to introduce them into your routine. Super simple and effective. Hey, got it from my mama listeners. Get a discount code. Use MAMA15 to get 15% off your first barefaced purchase.
And I said, well, I thought that since we didn't tell you about Mitch at first, that I said, I found out that I have cancer. And I'm sorry.
Sure,
and so we
wrong.
All cried.
Yeah.
And I said, but I was strong for y'all. I need y'all to be strong for me.
Mm. Yeah.
And that was it. And from then, I said, we got to find a great doctor that does this because I had one that's aggressive. I had 2 types there.
It was breast cancer,
yes.
But it was 2 types at the same time.
Yes. Okay. One that was very aggressive and one that was not.
Okay.
And so, anyway, the next day I start getting a call from Kristen, his manager, and other people. And they're like, we have you 2 appointments because they were like, we're not going to be able to see you for 2 months. All the people that I had dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
And so, sure enough, I mean, I got in there quick with the one that was with Sarah Cannon.
Yeah.
Loved her. Was a female. Absolutely loved her. And but then they take you around, and you go around there. Well, it was where Mitch had been, in the same place. And I even saw his doctor.
Oh, really?
Dr. Greco comes walking through, and I was like, well, hey. And he's like, well, hi, how are you? And so we left, but I still love the surgeon. So I thought, I can do this.
Yeah.
Well, then I get a call to meet Dr. Ben Ho Park, and he's with Vanderbilt, and he's head of oncology. And I'm not even sure he was still taking a lot of patients, but anyway, he took us.
You had people coming out of the woodwork wanting to help you.
Yes, yeah. Went to see him. And I've been waiting on this other biopsy thing to see how bad it was. Mm-hmm. And anyway, what type it was, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, he called me, and we were at a Mitchell concert in Alabama.
Oh.
It's on a Friday night.
Uh-huh.
At 9 o'clock, I look down and my phone's ringing. So I get up and I go back, you know, in the back. And he said, this is Dr. Park. This is what you have. And we need to get on it immediately. And we can beat this. And I said, you are my doctor. I said, anybody that would call me at 9 o'clock on a Friday night and tell me that knowing I was on pins and needles, you're my doctor. And he said, we got this.
And you were at a Mitchell concert when you got the call.
Yes.
Wow. Wow.
I was.
So this time you relied on the boys, kept them in the loop.
Yes, and I told them they came because all my friends want to see them when we go and whatever.
Yeah.
They came over to our hotel, and so I told them then. He called me now. We're getting on this.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, thank you. And he said, Mom, it wasn't me. It was everybody that knows somebody in the industry.
Right. That's so amazing. It really is. People talk about it a lot, but it really is a tight-knit community.
Really
the music
is.
Industry. And I bet people have showed up for you in all kinds of ways while
Absolutely.
You've walked this journey.
And now, you know, Mitchell does. He was already doing 10-10 for cancer.
Uh-huh.
And he has, what is that, the Lodge? Hope Lodge.
Okay.
It's in the Hope Lodge. And so he sponsors that. So he does something every October 10th for 10-10.
Okay.
And gives money back to that.
That's really awesome. Does that make you proud to see the ways that he's using his platform to help other people?
Absolutely. Like this last year, they actually did the event at Sony in the parking lot. They're doing it again next year because it was so successful.
Uh-huh.
And they did cornhole.
Oh.
Tournaments. And you had people all over the industry came to play, and they'd already signed up and everything.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I don't like is Mitchell when I go outside, because I'm working that day, and it's like when it's going to start, he's got it all decorated, and it has F cancer.
I remember seeing that.
And I was like, why do you have to put that? He said, because that's the way I feel about it. And I'm like, okay. But anyway, so that ended up raising $50,000.
Wow.
And then but the funny thing was, him and his partner were winning. In the tournament, they're all the way down to the last two teams against each other. And I'm like, Mitchell, you can't win this.
You can't win your own tournament.
And he's like, why? Because he's so competitive.
Yeah, yeah.
And thank goodness he didn't win.
Oh, they didn't win.
They did not win. But anyway, that night, Chris Young called him and said, I heard you raised $50,000. He said, I want to match it.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
And he did.
Wow.
So they're going to do it again this year.
That's awesome. I just had his mom on the podcast. She was delightful. And
oh, Chris Young?
Yeah, yeah.
I love
Becky,
him.
Yeah.
He's so sweet.
Yeah, he is a super nice guy. That was fun to talk about. So they really have just kind of held your hand and walked with you
Absolutely.
Through this journey.
And, yes. And I couldn't wait to tell them we got it. You know, mm-hmm. When I came out of surgery, they're like, we got it. We're testing the lymph nodes, but we got it. We just did a mastectomy on that side.
Yeah. And everything is great now. You're wrapping up some extra treatments that they did, but you're just now ready for the hair to grow back and the energy to come back.
Do I like the gray? No, but it's okay. I have hair again.
Yes,
and
you do.
Growing it on my eyelashes.
I think the short haircut's super cute too.
Thank you. Well, Mitchell says that, and Rafe says that, and I guess it's just I'm not used to it.
Yeah, yeah, it's just you not getting used to it. Tell me about the boys as brothers when they were younger. Of course, they've ended up working together, but were they competitive brothers and typical?
Mitchell was.
Oh, just Mitchell.
Oh, yeah. Rafe loved sports. Rafe did sports and did all that. Mitchell's, I'm going to win or it's not going to happen. So every time they'd go outside and play basketball, I'd look at Mitch, and I'm like, one of them's going to come back upset.
Yeah.
Most of the time it was Ray because Mitchell pushed him out of the way or knocked him down.
He was aggressive.
Yes. Mitchell's very aggressive. And But it all worked out. And I remember when Mitchell decided they were he was going to go on the road and do all this. And and he had his record deal. And he said, I'm taking Rafe with me. And I'm like, let him finish college. And he said, Mom, you go to college so you get a job. He's got to have a job. And I have one.
He's like, I'm giving him a job.
Yeah. And he said, I need him. I want him. I want him there.
What did he do? Play music or at the time?
Rafe has an incredible voice, too.
Oh, really?
But Rafe is shy.
Okay.
He does
so not the performance
want that
aspect
limelight.
That. Okay.
No. And so, like, I know not too long ago, Mitchell said he did a song with Colt Ford.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a part where Colt does the rap thing.
Oh, yeah.
And he told Rafe, he said, you're going to do the rap. And Rafe's like, no, I'm not. And Mitchell's like, yes, you are. Oh, Rafe's all over the stage now.
Oh,
he loves it.
He got bit by the bug.
But he don't want a solo artist thing.
Yeah, but he'll do that with him.
Yes. And, yeah. And he does another song with him that somebody else's that they do.
Uh-huh.
And which I just heard at the Opry when they played the Opry. I guess in November or December.
Did Rafe do it with him?
Yes.
Oh, I bet that
and
was
I
fun.
And I was like, huh? And Krista was behind me, Rafe's girlfriend. And she had not heard Rafe do it either.
Oh.
So it was really good. So we loved it. And, yeah. and they get along great. Rafe knows where he is and knows what Mitchell's doing. And he's happy not to be in the limelight.
Now, I can't remember those. He play an instrument for him?
Bass.
Oh, he's the bass
does
guitar.
And all the backgrounds.
Oh, okay.
Because he blends voices together.
Okay, gotcha.
So like I used to I asked them for Christmas. I would say, you know what I want? I want y'all to go in and sing. And I Can Only Imagine was one.
Mm.
And so they did that. But the first one was Mary, Did You Know? Because I'm like, I never can hear that on the radio. So they, during Christmas. So anyway, they gave it to me on the way to Miss Timpenny's for Christmas.
Ah.
And I cried the whole way over there. It was beautiful.
Oh, so they went in and recorded that for
yes.
you.
Yes. And then the next year, I said, I Can Only Imagine. He's like, do you know how hard that is? And I'm like, I don't care.
You can do it.
Yeah, you can do it. And they did. So
they recorded that one
how,
for you,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that they did do things together.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so. I mean, to be able to travel together, that's a great thing, too.
That's
so,
huge.
Yeah.
And Rafe knows Mitchell's doing that. I'm going over here. He doesn't want to do interviews. He didn't want to do all that.
Yeah. Will you travel much to shows? I know this year's been a little bit different for you, but do you like to go on the road to see them as well? Or
if
do you...
it's close, mm-hmm. like we'll do Alabama because my family was raised in Alabama, so yeah. all our family's there. And then we're actually going to go to Kentucky because I've also done Jason Aldean's tour.
Let's talk about the song Mama Raised the Hell Out of Me.
Yeah.
At what stage in the writing or the production or the recording did you hear that one?
It's only been a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And him and Zach Kale wrote it. And Zach writes for us at Sony.
Okay.
So anyway, when Mitchell first played it for me, I loved it. And I'm like, FYI, I'm 5'7" and a half, not 5'5".
When it said 5'5", because I hadn't met you yet. Yeah. So I was like, I wonder if she really, because I'm only 5'2". I'm like, I wonder if she really is only 5'5".
And
that rhymed
like,
better.
It rhymed better. Exactly. So, but I love that. And then things he would say, I mean, I don't think he was a bad kid, so I didn't really have to do anything.
Yeah.
But he knew, bottom line, that he better do right.
What are there other songs that you, or maybe some of the ones that have been most successful for him, with your musical background and business background, did you know, did you predict those to mm-hmm. do what they did?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
Well, I hear them, and like I say, we'll ride around and do them, and I'm like, I like that. Or I don't like that. I mean, I like it, but that's not a single.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. Although I don't think he gets to pick the single. I think Sony does that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he may have say so.
You may get a little bit of input,
yes.
but at the end of the day, yeah.
So just watch it, especially Drunk Me.
Oh.
When I first heard that title, I was like, ooh. But what it's saying is I had to quit drinking.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't get over you. And I was like, that's
a really
huge.
Creative way to say it,
yes.
too. Yeah.
And even my brother-in-law and sister-in-law were both alcoholics at one time, but they were running halfway houses. So I was like, I need to play that for them. And they were both just like, oh my, that's amazing, you know. And so I was like, you need to push for that to be the single.
Yeah, so that one you
and,
knew.
Yeah.
The Chris Young duet was really fun this year.
Yes, and yeah. I didn't know about that one beforehand. I just
okay.
knew he was going to be doing it with, and it was one they wrote. Yeah. So I loved At the End of the Bar.
They had written that together, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you liked that one from the start?
I did. It's where most people meet people. In fact, that's where I met Mitch.
Is it really? Yeah. That's where you met?
I mean, I saw him in a picture somewhere.
Yeah.
But I actually met him at a bar.
That's so funny. And didn't Mitchell and Megan meet in a bar?
Yes.
Or I know the Losers. Engagement was in a bar.
They met at Losers.
They did?
And so he has a song about that, too, that I love. And it's saying he went there, you know, when he wanted to get everything off. And but he saw Megan walk in, and he was like, I've never seen you before. It's what's in the song. And she came in camo.
Ah.
And anyway, and then theirs was, you know.
Yeah, that's all she wrote. Now
he
they're
was
married.
Crazy about her, yes.
From the beginning?
Yes.
So you knew
yeah.
that was a little bit different maybe than past girls that he had dated?
Yes.
Or,
yeah. Yes. Because she's not the type, she's not needy.
Mm-hmm.
She's her own woman.
Yeah.
And again, she can hunt better than anybody. She can fish better than anybody. She's just her, and she's got a heart that's amazing.
Oh, I love that.
So she said she was afraid to meet me because she knew who I felt about tattoos, because Mitchell had told her.
Oh.
And so anyway, she came in and we met, and I mean, you can't help but love her.
That's awesome. We're so. Not, we weren't supposed to be allowed to talk about how you feel about tattoos though, right?
They know. Everybody knows. I mean, it's to each
I mean,
his
mamas
own,
are allowed to their opinions
absolutely.
As well, right?
And I don't mind telling mine. So, but yeah, no. But she did tell me that she was scared to meet me because of that.
I love it.
So, but again, I love her.
Is there a favorite place that he's performed that you got to see, or like what you felt like was just a really big moment of, you know, okay, he's doing this and he's doing it successfully?
Probably at the Ryman.
Mm. Didn't he do back-to-back nights at
yes,
the Ryman?
And sold out both of them.
Wow.
And just to see that and see the people sing the songs back. And they do that as concerts. And I'm like, we never sang back people's songs or did that kind of stuff. But they've been doing that ever since he went out. And I think it's he writes from the heart. And you can feel that when he's singing it.
We talked about how there's people who don't know that Mitchell has this really rich history in his family of his exposure to music. I think he tells a neat story of maybe getting, as a kid, meeting Bobby Braddock and Curly Putnam and then these people, that things that he got to do that other kids wouldn't have. But at the end of the day, it's not like this business has been easy for him either.
No.
Because of those relationships, right? He's really shown a lot of hard work and perseverance to make all this happen, hasn't he?
Absolutely. Because me, having been in the business, and to know how many people my mom helped be in the business, I thought we'd get help.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to name names, but several people that I took him to were like, he's got to get out and play. Let's do his own thing. So my mother gave you a deal to have a publishing company with us, and you're not going to help him do anything? And I'll never forgive those. I'm sorry. I forgive them, Lord. But, I mean, I just see what kind of people they are. It's all about them.
Mm-hmm.
And you have that in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind that somebody helped you get to where you are. They're not going to help other people. Because
right.
I knew he had talent or I wouldn't have taken him. And he'd go playing those little bitty bars. There'd be 20 people there, but he was playing his heart out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. When you look kind of at the future for your boys and the music journey, like what are some of the things that you hope will happen for them?
I hope he gets recognized for the talent that he is.
Mm-hmm.
They keep voting these same people. I just wish that they would recognize some other people too.
Mm-hmm.
That deserve something and don't.
Yeah, I think Mitchell's definitely in a category, though, of these incredibly talented guys who obviously have the radio singles, the streaming numbers, like all the things. But then, you know, we kind of tend to hear the same names.
And when you're on a particular label, if you've got 3-4 people that you don't have to do anything for, because they're just, it's going to happen.
I'm
not naming names. But, you know, help those that are trying on their way up.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we get so tired of the same. I don't care how good they are.
Mm-hmm.
But the same people every time get the same award mm-hmm. every time. And it's like, come on.
Yeah.
And again, it doesn't bother him. My mm-hmm. daddy used to say, because I know he used to get upset in football, because he was so good at it.
Yeah.
And they would not give him the coaches mentioned sometimes.
Oh.
And my daddy said, don't you worry. You'll get your glory in heaven. You're not playing for them. And of course, when it was all over, he got the Mr. Mustang Award.
Did he
which
really?
Is the biggest award you could ever get.
Yeah.
But they were training up a boy to be a Christian boy and not be all about yourself.
Mm.
And so between that and my dad and things like that. So I just feel like sometimes you need a break.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Exactly. What would be your biggest advice? I feel like you come from and were able to nurture in your own family, but a really close, tight family of relationships. What is your advice to other moms?
Make them get together with you because everybody's busy. Mm-hmm. And it's even gotten harder the more we grow and grow because I want to celebrate everybody's birthday in our family.
Yeah.
And it took us a month to get to go last Sunday night.
So when your family's all together, how big is that?
There's 17 of us, I think.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's
so, and we
awesome.
All, we do all holidays together. And, well, I say that. We do Thanksgiving, Christmas. Now, if they're out 4th of July, which they're going to be playing somewhere, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he even told me this year, he said, Mom, on Christmas Day, we are going to have to go to Megan's this year in Canada.
Uh-oh, how did that news go over?
And I said, Christmas Day? And he said, yeah. And I said, then we're good. Because I do Christmas Eve at my house. And everybody, you know, me and my sisters and whatever, do the food. And everybody else just comes.
So this is going to be your first year to have to do the split holiday thing, though, now that he's married, right?
Yes. That's my main thing. We're going to get together.
Yeah.
So get a date.
Yeah, just family time and make it a priority, right?
Yes.
What would you say that and Mitchell got from his mom?
My heart. Yeah. And my stamina. I got to go, and I'm going to go as long as I can.
You didn't let that cancer slow you down?
I didn't. I mean, I was tired and I lost weight, too much weight, but I could have taken it.
Yeah.
And they were like, we need surgery to gain weight. And I'm like, well, quit doing the chemo and I can check what. And they can deliver some anyway. So I looked at it as a positive.
Yeah.
And one of the things to that, the talking about Mitchell having a heart, was that in Angie, to bring full circle back again, Angie was working with Stephen Curtis Chapman on something.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote a song, and it's Dove Loves Heart. And anyways, he asked Angie, he's like, do you think Mitchell would sing with me? Because he knew Angie and Mitchell.
Yeah.
Would sing with me on that song so I could let it hit another market as well.
Yeah.
And so she said, I'll certainly ask him. So Mitchell came over one night and he said, I want to play this for you. I'm singing out of Stephen Curtis Chapman. Mitchell did not write it, but it was his song. And what it was saying was exactly what I went through the day I'm going to chemo, you know, that you think God's given up on you and all this kind of stuff. And the you know, the course of it was, but don't miss Hunter, don't you do it?
Yeah, I like that.
And they did that. But you saw me crying over there when he was playing it for
me. And he's like, you think I should do it? And I said, that's up to you. But yes, I would do it.
Obviously, look at my face.
Yeah, I'm like, that
impactful.
Is exactly how I felt going.
Yeah. Yeah. And so many people, again, are going to be able to relate to that.
Absolutely. Like the day I was actually going, I stayed up all night, you know, because you don't know what chemo.
Yeah.
What's this going to do to me?
Yeah.
All I know is what it did to my husband. And so driving there, one of my best friends called me and I had been crying the whole way there. I was going to meet my sister and aunt, but going, I wanted to drive myself.
Right.
And she talked to me the whole way through and I was just like, you know what? I'm giving it to God. There's nothing I can do.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I just got a peace about it. And that's what I try to instill in Rafe and Mitchell is we might get angry and upset about things. Just give it to God because he's going to have the last say in it no matter what.
Yeah.
And I think they both have that.
Did that provide that peace for you that
absolutely.
You needed?
Absolutely. I was just like, that's it. I have to turn it over. It'll
let go and let God, right?
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I'm so glad you're doing well. And I've asked Mitchell about doing this months ago. And that's when he had shared with me, you know, what you were going through. And he's like, but I know she'll do it. I know she'd like to do it.
He didn't even know I was doing it today.
You didn't?
No.
Did you tell him today you were coming over?
Yes.
Oh, good. Well, I had just seen him at the celebrity softball game. And
I
said, I still want to get your mom on the podcast. And he goes, yeah, ask her. She's good. She's good.
So, we were there. I go to that every year.
Oh, really?
It's so fun to watch them. And I was so glad Ernest was pitching because he was a baseball player.
Yeah. They were smart getting him on that team.
Yes. And they were not doing well at first, but then they won.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody said that team was stacked.
Well, they said that last year when Mitchell's team won.
Whoever wins is going to say that, or whoever loses is going
to
say that.
The whole thing is they have a good time.
Exactly. Well, it's been great to talk to you. Thank you so much.
It's been amazing talking with you.
Thank you to Debbie for her time and to all of you for listening. Be sure to share the podcast with your friends and follow us on Instagram and even TikTok now. If you are enjoying these interviews, drop us an email at gotitfromamamapodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. I want to share with you a miracle skincare product that works overnight. Just kidding. If anyone says that to you, run. Skincare takes time and consistency. However, let me tell you about Bareface Toning Pads. They don't work overnight, but you can start seeing results as soon as 2 weeks after using them. Okay, so who needs them? Everyone. They're skin smoothing pads that help prevent breakouts, remove dull, dead skin, and improve the absorption of your skincare products. Basically, they reveal a more even, healthy glow with every swipe. They're Bareface's best-selling products with over 2,000 five-star reviews and over 200,000 units sold just in 2022. So a fan favorite to say the least. They literally could not keep these toning pads in stock for the first 2 years after they launched. So if you are looking for an easy first product to get started with, this is a must-have in your routine. Don't forget, you can use the code MAMA15 to get 15% off your first Bareface purchase.